The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let me ask you if you would to open your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew's in the New Testament, in case you've forgotten. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 2, actually, not chapter 1. Matthew chapter 2. I want to talk about the wise men today. At least once before, I have preached on this text, but I'm going to take it from a different angle today. It's a message you've not heard because I've not preached it here. But I want to talk about wise givers, Matthew chapter 2. We'll read the first 15 verses, kind of a lengthy passage, but that's all right. This is God's word, and we will hear it gladly. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men. And let me stop long enough to say, that's a translation, wise men. The word in the original language is magi, M-A-G-I. We get our word magician from it, M-A-G-I-C-I-A-N, magician, a magician. This was a tribe of people, of priests who served as priests. They studied the skies. Some even call them astrologers. They studied the skies and looked for signs, omens, pointers of things that were yet to come. And so you'll see what happened as they studied the skies. There came magi. I'm going to use the word there. They came magi from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews?" We don't know what they saw. A star, yes, but we don't know what they saw. We don't know how they knew it signaled the birth of the king of the Jews. There are a lot of ideas about how they knew and what they saw. And I'm convinced it was a supernatural star. Not anything in the heavens that we know of could lead wise men from the east to the west and then move south from Jerusalem to Bethlehem and then stop over the house where Jesus lay. That's what this star did. We have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him. They didn't see the star in the eastern sky. They were in the east and saw it in the western sky and then proceeded in that direction. We in the east have seen his star and have come to worship him. Well, now, when Herod the king heard this, what did they ask? Where is he that's born king of the Jews? Herod the king said, whoa, wait a minute. I am the king of the Jews. What is this all about? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And Herod was such a vicious guy that when he was troubled, everybody was troubled. All Jerusalem was troubled with him. Continuing in verse 4. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. They had quick answer. They knew. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." And this is Micah 5:2. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers or the communities of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd or rule my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them, that is, he found out from them, what time the star had appeared. It took them a while to get there. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him." Ha, 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 ha. Worship him with the edge of a sword. This is his newborn king. I am the king. I'll protect my throne. Continuing verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. They had followed the star to Jerusalem, and now it moves south. No star in the sky moves to the south. It doesn't do that. It doesn't go east to west and then move south. this is a miraculous star. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, not the stable, they saw the child, and the word used is young child, not a baby. They saw the young child, Jesus had grown in the time it took them to get there, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, and three are listed, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are two spices that were very valuable. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They took another road home, so they didn't have to go back and tell Herod where they had found the baby. Lord, give us a message from this passage today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody knows the Christmas story. And it usually runs like this. Three kings from Persia rode camels following a star, and with the shepherds, they went to visit the baby Jesus in the stable on the night he was born. Now, that's the story everybody seems to know. The only thing wrong with that story is it's mostly wrong. Check the Bible again. The bit about the star is right, but the rest of the story probably comes more from Hallmark cards than from the Holy Bible. Because look at what the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say there were three of them. They probably get that from the three gifts that are mentioned here, one gift per person. But the Bible doesn't say how many there were. The Bible doesn't say they were kings. It says they were magi. They were among this priestly group. It doesn't say they rode camels. We don't know what they rode. Or if they rode at all, maybe they walked. Who knows? The Bible does not say they came from Persia. It says they had seen the star while they were in the east. We in the east have seen the star and are come to worship him, but it doesn't say what country they came from exactly. The Bible does not say they arrived on the night Jesus was born and that they knelt with the shepherds before baby Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that. Hallmark cards puts it all together and has the wise men and Jesus and the baby Jesus and ox and sheep and donkey or two and wise men on camels and shepherds with their crooks, pasting it all together, making it all one. But most of that is not in the Bible. In fact, the story suggests that they arrived up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. It would have taken them some time to get things together and get on the road and make it there. They arrived up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus, and they found the young child, not the baby, they found the young child in a house in Bethlehem, not in a stable laying in a manger, but in a house with Mary and Joseph. Now, legend has been busy with these wise men, I'll call them, with the Magi. Early tradition set the number at 12, said there were 12 of them who came to worship Jesus and brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Later legends cut the number to 3, probably because of the three gifts that are named, one gift per each person. But still, later traditions made them kings, gave them names and even personal descriptions, and marked which gift each of the three gave to Jesus. For example, those later traditions named one of them Melchior, and said Melchior was an old man with white hair and full beard, and he was the one who brought to Jesus gold. That same tradition said Caspar was the name of the second. He was a ruddy-cheeked, smooth-faced youth who brought the incense, the frankincense. And Balthazar was the third of the wise men, who was dark-skinned in the prime of his life, and he was the one who brought the myrrh. Now, I don't know if any of that's true. Some of it could be true. I doubt it. But whether any of it is true or not, the visit of these men is significant because they were the first to give gifts to Jesus. So far as we know, they were the first to bring gifts to the Lord Jesus. And from them, we can learn a lot about wise giving. And that's what I want us to focus on for just a few minutes this morning. To begin with, a wise giver prepares his gifts. The Magi did. I've already remarked that it took them some time to plan their trip. And they planned it very carefully. They gathered supplies for the road. What are we going to need as we travel? They secured dependable mounts if they had them. They mapped out the best route to get there. And then they decided on and prepared gifts to take to the baby king. The young child would have been by the time they got there. For the new king. They didn't bring cheap trinkets that they picked up from a roadside market. They would not be satisfied to give to Jesus just leftover pocket change when they arrived. They planned significant and worthy gifts for the new king and then set out on their trip. Only the best would do. These gifts were not last-minute afterthoughts. They were costly items planned long before they gave them. And that leads me to emphasize again that a wise giver prepares his gifts. Week after week, month after month, year after year, a lot of people bring Jesus no worthy gift, and some bring no gift at all because they never prepare to give. Do you prepare what you give to the Lord? Do you plan what you give to God? Or is it just you pull out your wallet at the last minute and say, well, I can spare five, or I can spare a couple of ones, or I can spare 20 this week? You just wait to the last minute and pull a bill or two from your wallet on the spur of the moment. Or do you just think about what may be in your wallet? You know what's there. Many of you know what's there because there's not much there. And do you just decide, well, I better keep what I've got. I may need the cash. Many people give to Jesus no gift at all. Half the members of an average church give nothing. Give nothing. Zip, nada. 50% of the members of an average church give absolutely nothing to the Lord. Why? Because they never prepare to give anything. They never plan to give anything. Hear me now. A wise giver carefully prepares his gifts that he brings to Jesus. He puts some thought into it. A wise giver will prepare his gifts. Secondly, I would suggest from this story that a wise giver protects his gifts. The Magi did. That was a long journey they took. We don't know exactly where they came from, so we don't know exactly how far they had to travel. But it was a long journey. I'm sure that emergencies would crop up along the way. If the trip took a couple of years, there were things they didn't anticipate, emergencies that struck, and they would be tempted to dip into the gifts that they had prepared. If they were careless, they might misplace them or even lose them altogether. And then, danger of all dangers, there were thieves and robbers that lurked along the highways, the roads that they would have traveled, clear and present danger. But the Magi refused to dip into those gifts, to use them for their own needs, unexpected as they may have been. And they were very careful to guard them against loss or theft. And that leads me to say that a wise giver protects the gifts he prepares for the Lord Jesus. There's still thieves and robbers around today who will take the money, the gifts that you mean for Jesus. Even if you plan, you have to protect because there are thieves and robbers that will take it. Some years ago now, there was a rash of robberies around the South. Some of you are probably old enough to remember it. It got some headlines because what the thieves would do is this. They would wait until a church that they had targeted had taken the morning offering. And the ushers would take it back into the church office, lock it into a bank bag that somebody would take to the bank later and drop. But they would lock it into a bank bag and leave it in the church office. Then the ushers would come back into the auditorium for the rest of the worship service. And a thief would wait until the offering was done and the bag was in the office, and then they would come into the church, break into the office, take the bag, and make off with it. Now, law officers caught those guys and put them in jail, but there's still a lot of robbers that roam the land and operate freely. Just think about it for a moment. You may plan a gift and prepare a gift for the Lord, but a robber called pleasure will demand that you hand over the Lord's money. Pleasure. Give me that money. We need to have a movie and pizza. Give me that money. I need a new outfit, new pair of shoes. Give me the money. I need a large screen TV and a bass boat. Give me that money that you intended to give to the Lord. There's a robber called pleasure that will cheat Jesus out of the gift that you plan and prepare to give him. Sometimes the bandit wears the name need. Bills come in that you didn't expect, or they're bigger than you expected them to be, and you need money, and all too often it's the Lord's money that's the only money left. Well, I guess I'll have to use it for myself. I guess I'll have to keep it and use it. Sorry, Jesus, you get no gift from me. Or it's a lot less than I had planned to give and prepared to give, because the bandit need has taken the Lord's gift. There's a thief called carelessness. If you're not careful, what you plan and prepare for the Lord will just get away from you. You ever have money do that? Sometimes I think there are holes in my pockets. And I just drop the money somewhere. It just goes. I don't know where it goes. I don't know why. I don't know how. It just disappears. I sometimes accuse Rita of taking it. I know she doesn't, but it helps my feelings to accuse her because I'm the one that lost it. You know, I don't know where it goes. Where did that money go? I intended something else for it. I didn't intend for it to disappear like that. But a thief called carelessness will let the money get away somewhere somehow. The gifts that you plan and prepare to give to Jesus, if you're wise, you will protect against thieves and robbers, such as those I've just mentioned. A wise giver protects the gifts he prepares for the king. And then I want you to notice something else that the story suggests. That is that a wise giver presents his gifts to Jesus. The Magi did. In the house in Bethlehem, they worshiped the boy Jesus and presented to him the treasures they had brought. They hadn't come those weary miles and braved all of those dangers to lay their gifts before Mary or to put those gifts in the hand of Joseph. They bowed before Jesus. They had brought the gold and frankincense and myrrh for him, and it was to him they gave the gifts. A wise giver gives to Jesus. You may never have heard the name Andrew Fuller. Andrew Fuller was a Baptist preacher in New England 200 years ago, nearly 300 years ago. He was one of a group of Baptist preachers who promised William Carey, the father of modern missions, that they would hold the ropes if he would go down into the well, the continent of India, to share the gospel. In other words, if you will be the missionary, you will go, we will provide the support. We will raise the support and keep you on the field. That's the way they did it then. He was one of those. And one day in 1792, he was talking to a prospective donor, and he said, what will you give? What will you give to help support Carey? And the man said, well, seeing it is you, Dr. Fuller, I will give £5. Fuller said, no, seeing it is I, you will give nothing. But seeing it's the Lord Jesus, what will you give? In a different tone of voice, the man who had caught Fuller's point said, seeing it's the Lord Jesus, I will give £50. See, wise givers give their gifts to Jesus. He at first thought about giving money to Fuller. I'll give £5. No. What will you give to Jesus? Oh, seeing that it's Jesus, I will give 50 pounds. A wise giver always gives as unto the Lord. He presents his gifts to Jesus. I remember one day when I was pastoring a church in Wichita, Kansas, a new widow came into my office, handed me an envelope. I said, "What is this?" She said, "Just open it and look in it. $2,000. This was in the 70s. That was a considerable sum of money in the 70s. Not to be sneezed at all. It was $2,000. She was a new widow. Her husband had died only weeks before. And this was the tithe from his life insurance policy that she brought. She had three kids at home. She had one in college. Her husband had just died. She had no job, looking for one, but she had not. And I shook my head and tried to hand the envelope back to her. I said, "Plessy, I can't take this money." And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She said, "Brother Cecil, I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to Jesus." See, a wise giver gives to Jesus. When you bring your gifts and drop them in the offering plate, do you pause for a moment? I mean, even a split second, and say, "This is a gift to Jesus. I'm giving to Jesus." A wise giver gives his gifts to Jesus. It goes beyond giving to the church. Wise giving goes beyond giving to a cause. Wise giving goes beyond giving to a collection of some sort. Wise giving goes beyond just giving out of custom or habit, because that's what I've always done. Wise giving goes beyond even considering what others may think if I don't give. Wise giving is giving to Jesus. What I give, I render to him, even as the Magi brought the treasures to the baby Lord, the young Lord. And the final point that I want to draw out of this story today is that a wise giver provides for Jesus' needs with his gifts. The Magi did. Now, there's no way they could have known that Herod would want to kill Jesus. No way they could have known what his reaction would be. So it's not that they brought these gifts for that purpose, but I'll tell you this. The Lord God knew the murderous heart of Herod. He knew that Herod would try to kill the young lad, the young Lord. And so he, in a dream, warned Joseph to take the Holy Family and flee for refuge to Egypt. There were a lot of Jews that lived in Egypt. There was a Jewish community in every city, every town there. And if they could only get there and get in with some of their Jewish relatives, they would be safe in Egypt. But how were they to finance that? Where did they get the money to go on that trip? Joseph was just a mere carpenter, or perhaps a stonemason. The word simply means a mason, wood, stone, whatever it was. He was just a simple guy. He didn't get rich. And he probably didn't earn a whole lot since they were new in town there, new in the little village. No way he had time to save up for the trip to Egypt. There was nowhere to go and borrow money. How were they to flee to Egypt? How would they finance that? Where would they get the money to make the trip? Listen, it is clear that without question, the gifts of the Magi, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh paid for that trip. The Magi couldn't have known in advance, but the gifts they brought the little Lord, the gifts they brought the Lord Jesus, financed the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt, away from the murderous wrath of King Herod. Herod was a bad dude. Herod was jealous of his throne and his crown. In fact, Herod had his favorite wife. He had 10. He had his favorite wife, Miriam, put to death, along with three of his natural-born sons, because he suspected they were conspiring to take his throne and his crown. In fact, the Roman emperor joked that in Herod's house it was safer to be swine. Herod was half Jewish and he wouldn't touch a hog. It was safer to be swine than it was to be a son. He'd kill his sons, but he wouldn't touch a hog. That was a joke to the emperor. He was a bad dude. And the flight of the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, to Egypt was paid for to get away from Herod, was paid for by the gifts the Magi brought. It leads me to say a wise giver brings to Jesus gifts he can use to do his business throughout the world. He doesn't need to go to Egypt now. He doesn't need to flee to Egypt. But it is the gifts of wise givers that enable him to go where he needs to go and to do what he wishes to do in this whole wide world. Now remember, even the little Lord was Lord of everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owned the wealth in every mine. But they were dependent on the gifts those wise givers brought to get where they needed to do what they wanted. Do you see? The Lord owns everything, but he depends on your gifts, the gifts of wise givers, to go where he needs to go and to do what he needs to do to carry out his cause in this world. We saw a video at the beginning of the service about some missionaries who were serving in Thailand. I've not been in Thailand, but I've been in China, been in Japan. I've seen things that these pagan worshipers do to cleanse themselves from sin. And this man, who was a doctor, volunteered to be a medical missionary to share the gospel with people that he handled in the medical clinic. Did you catch his appeal? A part of the appeal was, help by your gifts to the king. Help keep me on the field and send others as well. And then he also said, we need volunteers to come and help us. For more than 20 years, Rita and I took college students and adults from local churches in Mobile to Brazil and did a medical clinic there. We weren't doctors. Rita was a nurse, and she was becoming a nurse, but we had a little medical clinic where we checked people's temperatures, checked their glucose levels. Many of them were diabetic. We checked their glucose levels. We checked them for eyeglasses and gave them reading glasses. What else did we do? I can't remember. Huh? Blood pressure. Yeah, checked their blood pressure. Most of them were too high. But we did some things like that you could do. You can learn to do that. It's easy to do. You could go and help that guy in Thailand. This church could send a group over, could give gifts to the king that would make it possible for Jesus to take you to Thailand, somewhere across the seas, to help that man in the Lord's work, where he is. By giving the international missions offering, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you are helping the Lord go where he needs to go and do what he needs to do. And by giving, by your giving, you enable this church to do the ministries it needs to do here. Are you a wise giver? Wise givers prepare their gifts for Jesus. Wise givers protect those gifts against thieves and robbers that would steal them away and keep them from Jesus. Wise givers present their gifts to Jesus. Wise givers provide for Jesus' needs with those gifts. That's what the Magi did. And I would ask you to join the circle of wise givers. And if you've not yet begun, begin today to give to the Lord gifts worthy of a king to help him do his work. in this world. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for this blessed story of the first givers, so far as we know. Thank you for the reminder that they prepared and they protected and they presented and they made it possible for you to do what you needed to do and go where you needed to go at that time. Help us, God, to be like them, wise givers, who will do the same in this day, in this age, in this century, as they did in theirs. Now, Father, just speak to each person here today. I don't know what you need from every person, but God, give us ears to hear. Hark! The Lord speaks. Listen, the Lord speaks. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us, what we must do, why we're here today. What is it we must do to be obedient to you? Lord, if there are people here who need to confess sin, I pray they'd do that right now and renew the fellowship with you they once knew. If there are people here today who need to rededicate, recommit themselves, would you by your Spirit lead them to do that? Or there may be some who you plan to be a part of this church who need to move their membership. Would you give them courage and grace to do that? Father, if you're calling some into your service as missionaries to go with the Lord Jesus into far-flung places and peoples we've never heard of because they've never heard of Jesus, would you lead them to make that commitment today? Now, Father, whatever it is you want from me, I'm willing to do it. And I pray that whatever you want from each person here, you'd find a willing heart in them to do what you want done. Now, Lord, have your way in this invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.